Yeah.
Okay, so come closer in.
So let me just explain what we're gonna do. I'm gonna do this workshop tomorrow morning at 8:30. I'm not sure I'm gonna be awake.
Actually.
Or even have a singing voice. But during that workshop, I wanna talk about collecting songs and where they come from and how you find them and how you research them and sing a few songs. But I did a workshop at Dusty Strings several weeks ago on that, and I had 2 hours. And so I talked and then we sang songs, and 2 hours wasn't really enough. But then I thought what we'd do this hour is to just go over some of the songs that I would have otherwise done in this workshop. And these are mostly old songs, like 100 years or more, not all of them. These are songs which sadly are becoming forgotten. So I want to keep these songs alive. That's my mission. And the other thing that I've been doing at Dusty Strings, not directing, but sort of peripherally involved, is for the last two and a half years, Hay Power and Steve Einhorn, I don't know if you know them, they ran the Artichoke Music Store down in Portland for quite a while. They came up to live in Seattle for about 2.5 years, and they did a community sing at Dusty Strings. It's still going on every Wednesday noon, except that Kate and Steve, just a few months ago, moved back to Portland. Don't ask them why, but that's what they did. So I'm also getting really interested in group singing. There's more of these. In group singing and songs that people can really sing together, because what you hear now in the popular media are a lot of songs which are very hard to sing. You know, the music industrial complex has tried to teach us that only the professionals can sing. And if you're not, don't even try. If your job is to listen.
That's why I love Marty Howgan and the guys like that write like that, because their songs are also singable. I
mean, yeah.
The melodies make sense.
Melodies and the lyrics are simple.
Yeah.
And they say something that's interesting for everybody, not just me. Yeah. So about 150 years ago, Walt Whitman wrote famous lines, "I hear America singing," right? And what did he write today? "I see America listening."
Yeah.
And that says it all.
And we're all plugged in all the time.
Right. Yeah. We have all these gizmos that we're supposed to buy, MP3 files and streaming audio and all of this. It's all about the money. So anyway, one of the songs that I introduced to this community sing, and they're not folk singers necessarily, so it's a mixture of some folk music and some more popular stuff. And Hobo's Lullaby, which I just assumed everybody knew.
Yeah.
Because I knew it forever.
Yeah.
And nobody admitted that they knew it.
Really?
I thought, oh my gosh, is this song just disappeared from, you know, we gotta keep it alive.
Yeah.
So let me just give you a little background. This was written by, it was a favorite song. This would be sung by Woody Guthrie and Cisco Houston. And so everybody thinks that it's a Woody Guthrie song, maybe a Cisco Houston song. But it was really written by a guy by the name of Google Reeves. And Google Reeves may have written more than one song, but this is the only song that he's known for. He was sort of he came from Texas. He wanted to break into the country music thing. But this is the only song which is that really survived.
Did Woody add the Police first?
Pardon?
Did Woody add the Police first? You know, I know the Police cause you trouble.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that Google probably, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that's in the
maybe not
original, but
Woody and Cisco Houston were, during World War II, were for a couple of years in the Merchant Marine. So they were ferrying armaments and troops across the Atlantic. And they got torpedoed a couple of times, but fortunately they survived. But Google Reeves is also another one of these guys who was in the Merchant Marine, but not at the same time, but they all knew each other. So anyway. And so I'm going to do this in, but, well, the F chord is, the F key is a nice ukulele key, so.
Thank you.
No.
You got it?
I think I saw it in the corner. I think I saw it.
Wait till the cops roll by.
Okay.
Check the last scale. Almost.
Because a lot of people, they ask me.
And this song was, I suppose, a popular, at least a popular song around the turn of the last century. But it had three verses, and it was, well, what happened is that Uncle Dave Menken from the old Grand Ole Opry sort of resurrected this song in the 1930s, and I think he recorded it maybe 1939. It was a real hit recording of his. But he pared it down to two verses, and the rest of it was sort of a little bit too mushy and sentimental, but and he changed the melody just a little bit, but it's a great song. And I got this song off of the recording from, that was, Cindy Banks and Ann Hill, Ann Hills, called Never Grow Up. It's a new recording.
Never Grow Up. Probably not. It's a good song, though.
And stock now.
You haven't told that yet? They want you to never grow up?
It's an easy song to pick up that has a repeating chorus. So why don't we start with a chorus and wait till the stars, it's in the middle there.
Until the stars go by, Jenny, wait until the stars go by.
Sing and play at the same time. Bruce Volsky can do this. But probably, I can't do two things, two different things at once. I'm not good at multitasking, so. But this is the first one. It's a song by Tommy Meekin. Tommy Meekin is one of my musical heroes. Tommy died several years ago, but he was just a superb performer and played banjo and all sorts of other instruments. But he was just a really nice guy. So he wrote this long song. No, he wrote that one too, but this No, that's not the one.
Thank you.
I guess it gets too confusing. Let's do the same chorus, but the next one is, can't you love
little, or can't you love long?
Can't you love little, Lord? Can't you love long? Can't you love new love till your old one returns? Can't you say that you love him, his heart for to ease? And when his back's turned, yes, you love, will you please? Green grows the laurel and sweet falls the dew. Sorry I was when I parted from you, but by our next meeting I hope you'll prove true and love one another as lovers should do.
Sailor, the sailor who sailed on the wide road.
2003.
That was the early.
So that was 1903, okay.
1903, but this was before that.
Yeah.
Maybe just before the turn of the last century.
Anticipating the events.
Well.
Or just dreaming.
Just dreaming, yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, airships predate airplanes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so like.
Significantly.
Dirigibles.
Yeah.
And then Hindenburg came along.
Yeah, and that was the end.
The first films, relays in France, features a bunch of scientists and wise men taking a dirigible to the moon.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right,
yes.
Yeah, they end up sort of land crash landing in the moon's eye.
Yeah.
Like blinks.
Yeah, that's Jules Verne. Put to the movies.
This is a favorite song of mine. I just learned, well, not that recently, but My Flower, My Companion and Me. And that was a song that I don't know if you, how many of you know Helen Schneider? Helen Schneider was a fantastic singer, and she died maybe 10 years ago. She was one of the featured musicians on Garrison Spooner's Prairie Music Tip, Prairie Home Companion show in the, I don't know, late 70s, early 80s. And he just had a powerful voice and a powerful spirit. And Garrison Keillor, I remember him saying, when Helen sings a song, it stays sung. And I got this song from Norma Waterson, who's my favorite English traditional singer. The Watersons, and Martin Carthy, and Eliza. Eliza's another story. And in the notes on the CD, Norma says that she learned the song from Helen Schneider. And I thought, I didn't know where it came from. It sounds sort of like maybe a hymn tune, and Helen Schneider liked to take hymn tunes out of the Baptist hymnal and make songs out of those, which is great. But then Helen Schneider, it goes back to the mid-1800s. This is a composed song in the 1800s, 1850s or somewhere about that. It had a lot more verses, and it was too small to say it, but it got picked up by some country band, that I think Helen got it from that. And I think it's been folk processed quite a bit. And on one of the recordings of Ferris and Jason Romero, are you familiar with Jason? Yeah. Ferris and Jason, and they're just terrific. He makes banjos.
He made this one.
He did. Oh, wow. Yeah. They lit up in, not Black Fly. Horsefly, B.C. And if you don't know what Horsefly, B.C., it's sort of up in the middle. But she grew up there, and it's a great place to just make music and make banjos and everything. And this song, with slightly different lyrics, is on that. So the point is that performers now, young performers, are rediscovering these old songs and putting them to contemporary arrangements, which is really neat because that keeps them alive. And that needs to be done more because you get tired of a singer-songwriter, even if they're good and they sing all of their own songs, they have a certain style and once, and after a while it gets sort of old, and to put in these other old songs and resurrect them is a neat thing to do.
What song is this?
So this is
My
Flower, My Companion and Me. And I got to restart. And it's sort of got a chorus. It starts down, it's no wonder I'm brokenhearted. And let's start with the chorus, and then we'll go back to the beginning. It's no wonder I'm brokenhearted, stricken with sorrow to be. We have met, we have loved, we have parted. Oh, my Father, my companion, it's no wonder I'm brokenhearted, stricken with sorrow to be. We have met, we have loved, we have parted. Oh, my Father, my companion and me. Oh, the flowers that I love in the wild wood, they have sent out their beautiful blooms. To find a way, dear friends, from my childhood, they have slumbered for years in their tombs. Theater called the World Theater, which was quite decrepit and you had to be careful because every once in a while a ceiling tile would fall down. But anyway, I remember seeing Helen up on the stage there, and she was quite remarkable. And then there was a time that they still were using the World Theater, this old theater, but on a really nice day in the summer, they would go off, it was just across from the St. Paul Science Museum, and there was a sculpture garden. So they would perform in the sculpture garden. But then this big black cloud came over in the middle of this beautiful day and just dumped rain. So everybody ran into the World Theater. And next up was Butch Thompson. And Butch Thompson was a guy of few words. He would sit down at the piano. He sat down at the piano bench. And Garrison was over here. And Garrison said, okay, did the segue into Butch Thompson's part. And Butch Thompson just sat there and he said, and there was this pause, and he said, well, what's the matter? The keyboard is locked. Somebody screwed up and got a key and unlocked the cover. It was funny. Another old song which comes from this era, it's, I'll tell you the history of it, it's Master of the Sheepfold. Master of the Sheepfold. And that has an interesting history because the first person to record this was Art Thing recorded in about early 1990s.
Yeah.
But Art got it from attending a music camp in Massachusetts, from which, where it then came from Maine. So it had been circulating around Maine. And then it was murky as to where this came from. But to shorten the story, about the turn of the last century, early 1900s, a woman, her name is here, in the Boston area, I guess, wrote a poem. She wrote it in black dialect.
Yeah.
Which was sort of a strange thing because she wasn't black. But that was apparently the thing to do at that time. And so she wrote this in the black dialect. And back around the early 1900s, and it got picked up by the black community, and it was actually sung in their churches. So they accepted it. And then another friend of mine from New England, Charlie Ipcor, told me that Charlie's mother, had gotten a song from a woman in Texas. So it had gotten around, and then she took that song, and then it became part of the folk tradition up in New England, and it got folk processed quite a bit, and then from there to Art Theme, and then Ann Hills and Cindy Bankson recorded it, and that's where I got it. So it has this biblical theme to it, and it has a chorus, and it starts out with a chorus. Oh, the master of the sheepfold, God is a sheepfold bin, when out on the wind and the rain, the master of the sheepfold, God is a sheepfold bin. No, I'm
the
doing first verse.
That's the verse.
Oh, the master guards a sheepfold bin. He wants to know, is my sheep roaming? And he's calling, calling, calling softly, softly, calling the world all to come down from the open sea again.
Is it the
band,
the cage that they put in, the fence area, is that what the band is?
Well, there's probably more like a corral type of thing.
They call it a band, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
it was sort of a corral, I don't know what the term is. Oh, the master guards his sheep from within. He wants to know if my sheep run in. And he's calling, calling, calling softly, softly, calling them all to come down and bring him. Oh, the master of the sheep from within. Guards his sheep from within. When out in the wind and the rain path where the long night rain begins, and he said to his hired the Métis Indians, who were this breed of Indians who interbred with the French and some of the British, so they were a mixed race. And there was an uprising of the Métis in the mid-late 1800s, the Métis uprising. And so there's a Métis maiden who falls in love with a British soldier. The British were brought in to put down this rebellion. And then he goes back to England, and she laments the fact that he's left. So that's the story. And I'm convinced that this is the original version. But actually, there's an earlier version of the song or tune that came from New York, Upper New York. That sort of way in the distant past.
There's also a version of this where he betrays her and she has him arrested, and he's singing it from his prison cell while the rebellion was still going on.
It's more what a British
So we end at 4 and I think segue into the instrumental.
Yeah.
I think that's correct.
So let's do one more. And I think a really neat ending thing. I'm just enamored with Utah Phillips.
Yeah.
And Utah Phillips was died some years ago. But his son, Duncan, came out to Seattle with Kate McLeod. Well, actually, Kate McLeod was doing a concert for me at this little bookstore coffee house where I have concerts. And Kate McLeod is one of my favorites. She's a great singer-songwriter, also a great fiddle player. And she said, I'm bringing this friend of mine, Duncan. Is that okay? And I said, yeah, sure. I don't know. And it took me about 5 or 10 minutes to dawn on me. It was Duncan, the son of Utah Phillips, Duncan Phillips. And he sang some songs and stories. And you can see the genetic influence of his father in his storytelling. But Duncan had republished the big songbook that Utah had published a long time ago. The title of the songbook was Starlight on the Rails.
Yeah.
And this is a song, the title song, but that was pretty neat. So, and again, it has a chorus. So just like
Starlight on the Rails.
Just for me.
and...
Oh, great question.
We'll sing a few more songs, and I'll talk about record songs at this workshop, first thing Sunday morning.